You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Thank you. Please be seated. Counsel, while we're waiting for the jurors, we will take up on the record at the conclusion of today after the jurors can dismiss the issue of further stipulated exhibits, and I'll bring that up before we conclude for the day.
All rise.
All the jurors present and accounted for.
Very well. Please be seated. All right, we're back on the record after our mid-afternoon break. Mr. Wood, we'd like to continue the examination of the witness, and I'll remind the witness, of course, you're still under oath. Mr. Wood.
Thank you. And I need to just take up a couple issues for clarification of the record. Detective, you spoke earlier about searching Montevallo's residence.
Correct.
And then, yeah, you stated the address. What city was that address located in?
Rexburg.
And what state is Rexburg in?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Detective, as part of your investigation, did you ever help execute a search warrant on the Daybell, on Chad Daybell's residence?
I did. I executed a couple of warrants.
Okay. When was the first one?
January 3rd of 2020.
And Chad Daybell's residence, what county is that located
in? Madison County.
What's his address?
202 North, 1900 East.
And in what city is it listed as?
It's listed as Rexburg. It's actually in Fremont County, but it's listed correct.
Okay, so just to be clear, did you just misspeak when you said it was in Madison?
I did. I mean, to say it directly.
Okay, and it's what county?
Fremont County.
All right, thank you. And you testified you did a search there on January 3rd?
Correct.
Was that search in aid of another investigative agency?
It was.
Which agency was that?
Fremont County Sheriff's Office.
And do you recall what the purpose of that search was for?
I don't recall what the probable cause or the reason for the search was at that time.
So you didn't write the affidavit?
No, sir.
Did you have any other occasion where you served a search warrant on Chad Daybell's residence?
Yes, June 9th, 2020.
When you served that warrant on June 9th, 2020, what time did you arrive at Chad Daybell's residence?
Roughly about 7 in the morning.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the witness be handed State's Exhibit 10A. Detective, are you familiar with State's Exhibit 10A?
Yes, I am.
What does it purport to be?
It's an aerial image taken from Google Earth of the defendant Daybell's property.
So, do you know who prepared that image?
I did.
Right. But you didn't take the picture?
No.
Because it's a satellite photo, correct?
Correct.
Have you been, I believe you testified, you have been to Chad Daybell's residence?
Yes.
Have you walked around the grounds of Chad Daybell's residence?
Yes.
And have you been inside his home?
I have.
Are you familiar with the landmarks of that residence in the yard?
Yes, I am.
And are you familiar with you're familiar with the general layout of the yard and what's located in it?
That's correct.
And is this image an accurate representation of Chad Daybell's residence?
Yes.
Your Honor, for demonstrative purposes only, the state moves to admit Exhibit 10A.
Any objection?
Objection. Of what year and age of objection?
Right.
Officer, approximately how much property are we talking about?
I couldn't tell you the amount of property.
And the prosecuting attorney mentioned the yard. Now, I mean the yard usually means where there's grass. So you're familiar with where the what's on the grass, is that right?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, there's, and I'll represent to you that there's about 4.5 acres out there. Does that sound close to me, Henry?
Okay.
Okay. And I'll represent to you that there's an area that's known as the yard, that's a lawn area, that you would mow with a lawnmower. Are you following me?
Yeah, Your Honor, this is testimonial.
You know, Judge, I'm trying to, he has, says that he's familiar with the yard.
Well, I understand. I think we're going into cross-examination now, which will be permitted. The question is on an issue of foundation or other objection, whether or not the exhibit gets admitted. So, Mr. Pryor, what would be the foundational objection?
He hasn't testified, Judge, that he's familiar with pasture, 3.5-4 acres of property that go beyond the yard.
All right, response, Mr. Wood?
I think the question is adequate.
All right. Based on foundation and with the testimony of the witness about his knowledge of this property, court will overrule the foundation objection, allow the exhibit 10A to be admitted, and you can go into those issues if you'd like on cross, Mr. Pryor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your Honor, I'll publish that shortly. Detective, so you testified that you executed a search warrant on June 9th, 2020.
Correct.
What time of the day did you arrive at Chad Daybell's residence?
Roughly 7 in the morning.
And was it only the Rexburg police or were there other agencies involved?
At that time, there was Fremont County and Rexburg City Police that went to his house at 7.
And did any other agencies help you that day on that search?
They did.
Who were they?
The FBI ERT team, which is the evidence recovery team, the Attorney General's office, Fremont County. I believe that's it.
Okay. And you testified you got there about 7 o'clock.
Yes.
That's when you first arrived, who was Mr.
I do apologize. Could I have a quick sidebar with counsel? I'd like to discuss this exhibit briefly. All right, Mr. Wood, apologies for the court's interruption. Discussing that last exhibit, you can continue with your direct examination of the witness.
Your Honor, could I have the court reporter read back the last question I asked?
That was kind of a half question. When you first arrived, who was, the question before that was, and you testified you got there about 7 o'clock, answer yes.
That's right. Thank you. May I proceed?
Yes.
Detective, when you arrived around 7 o'clock, who was with you at that time?
There was myself, Lieutenant Ron Ball at the time, Detective Kagman, and Detective Bruce Madigan, and also Detective Dave Stubbs.
All right. So can you go back to those individuals and say where they, who they were employed by real quick?
Lieutenant Ron Ball with Rexburg Police. Detective Stubbs is also with Rexburg Police. Detective Kai Kamanu and Matt Inley are both with Fremont County Sheriff's Office.
And just for clarity of the record, is Detective Ball still with the Rexburg Police?
No.
Okay. And is... What organization is he with now?
Madison County Sheriff's Office.
And Detective Kai Kamani, is he still with Fremont County?
No, he's also with Madison County Sheriff's Office.
All right, that's just clarity. Thank you. So when you got there, what did you do?
Initially, we knocked on the front door. We made contact with Mark Daybell, who's the defendant Daybell's son. He answered the door. He was eating a bowl of cereal. It was early in the morning. We informed Mark of why we were there and that we needed to speak with his dad. He stated his dad was still asleep, and we showed him a copy of the warrant, and he proceeded to let us in and show us where his father was.
And did you make contact with Mr. Daybell that morning?
We did. He showed us that he was sleeping in a bedroom above a loft, above the garage, so we walked up the stairs, just a few of us, Detective Facamano and Maddie, we stayed back. We informed Chad that we were there and needed to speak with him. He was still asleep. He asked that we get some clothes on. We allowed him to do that and came downstairs with us.
And did you provide a copy of the warrant and straight line?
We did.
And what happened next?
Mr. Daybell asked to speak with his attorney. We were standing in the kitchen area. He had a seat in the kitchen. And his attorney at the time was Mark Means. So we allowed him to speak with his attorney. At that time, Mr. Means wanted to speak with one of these investigators.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point.
That's fine, Your Honor. We'll stop that.
Very well.
After Mr. Daybell spoke with his attorney, what was the next step in your portion of the investigation?
I allowed Mr. Daybell to sit in the front room. He sat on his recliner closest to the door. His children sat on the couch in the same room. I gave Mr. Daybell a copy of the warrant, and he read through search warrant while sitting in his recliner. He asked if he needed to leave the residence while we conducted business. We informed Mr. Daybell he didn't need to leave the residence, but if he chose to stay, he would be accompanied by an officer just for safety purposes.
After you had that conversation, what did you do?
Mr. Daybell asked if he could make a phone call, and at that point he was allowed to go outside and make a phone call.
And where did you go?
I went outside with him.
And what did you do after that?
Mr. Daybell wanted to sit in the vehicle that was parked backed in on the west side of the house. There's a west driveway. So I allowed him to sit inside the vehicle, windows rolled up, and make a phone call. I stood in the grass area close to the vehicle.
At this time, Your Honor, I'm going to ask to publish State's Exhibit 10A.
You may.
Second, do you have that pointer?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Can you point out where the front door of Mr. Daybell's residence is in that image, or where it would locate?
There's two doors. I don't know which one Mr. Daybell used as a front door. I can tell you there's a door right here and a door on the back side. Okay. So Mr. Daybell was roughly, that's not the vehicle he was in, but it's roughly parked in the same area. And I was standing here in the grassy area.
Earlier there was some talk about the yard or the grassy area. Can you just outline for the jury where, I'm going to call it the grass area of the yard, is located on that image?
The grass area is right through here.
And is that a driveway behind the house as well?
Yes, there's a driveway here.
And to the just east of that, what is that? Is that grass as well?
There was grass here. There's a little shop area. There's a shed here. And then this is, I guess you would call it pasture area.
Did you observe any livestock there?
No.
Detective, you testified. If you can show again where Mr. Daybell was and where you were in relation to him when he went outside to meet the phone call.
So Mr. Daybell was sitting in a vehicle fairly close to this location. He was sitting in the driver's seat. He was back in. I was standing here just observing Mr. Daybell make the phone call.
And did you observe his behavior that while he was making that phone call?
I did.
What was the nature of the behavior? What was he doing?
Initially, he was just on the phone, and I was watching him. But as the call progressed, he had the phone in his right hand and was intently looking over his right shoulder. And so I found it odd. I wanted to see what he was looking at. So I maneuvered myself to see what he was so intently looking at.
And when you did that, did you attempt to orient yourself so that you would be looking in the same direction you perceived him looking at?
That's correct.
What did you see when you did that?
So when the vehicle backed up here, he was looking over his right shoulder in this direction. I stood over here, kind of in front towards the roadway to see exactly what he was looking at. And when I looked that way, I saw this area, this pond area.
Okay. Now, let's look at that pond real quick. If you can just kind of run the pointer around it so that you're sure where it is.
Right here.
And
there's a tree right here.
Thank you.
And then a pond.
And when, at the time, you noticed Mr. Dable looking over, was there any activity going on over there?
There was. So like I testified, we got there about 7 o'clock when we made contact with Mr. Daybell, and the scene was secure. We radioed for the other units that were staged about a mile and a half down the road that they can come start marking things off and search warrant. So as time passed, Mr. Daybell was reading the warrant on his recliner. While he was doing that, there were ERT members and other officers that started marking off different sections in the backyard that we wanted to search.
Now, Detective, just for clarity of the record and for the jury, I believe you defined ERT earlier, but can you tell the jury again what ERT is?
Evidence Recovery Team.
And who are they associated with?
With the FBI.
Now, Detective, were you the lead of this, executing the search warrant that day?
I wasn't in charge of the search warrant.
So, kind of just for clarity again, what did you see when you looked in the direction you thought Mr. Dable was happening? Or I guess, what activity did you see?
There were some ERT members marking off a section under this tree right next to on the east side of the pond area. So right in this general location.
What did you do next? In your part of the search that day?
I was tasked with going into the backyard and sifting through what we determined was a fire pit.
Can you show the jury on that map or on that picture where the fire pit is located? And you said,
I apologize, but for the record, would you have the witness please reference where that point to just somehow so there's a full representation of the record?
Yes, Detective, if you can point there again and describe what it is you're pointing at, where it is you're pointing.
The fire pit area, which there's like a little tree here. It's just to the north of the tree.
Yes. Is that adequate, Your Honor?
It is.
So you said you went north of the fire pit. Exactly what did you do?
So a few of us were tasked with getting dirt and anything that was in the fire pit and putting it through a sifter. So that's originally what I was tasked to do by the team leader of the ERT team.
About what, approximately, what time were you doing that?
I'd say roughly, probably 9 in the morning, that one.
Who was the team leader of the ERT team?
His name is Steve Daniels.
And how long did you sit in the fire pit?
I would say probably 35, 45 minutes.
Okay. And so when you sifted, what kind of tool did you use to do that?
It was a woody sifter. We would scoop shovels full and put it in the sifter, and wooden handles, you would just shake back and forth. And any larger debris would stay on the top of the wire screen.
And did you find anything of interest while you were sifting through the fire pit area?
Not at that time, no.
Did you move to another another area of the search?
I did.
When approximately did you do that?
Yes, for a time.
Approximately, yes.
Probably 10-ish, maybe.
And why did you move?
There were ERT members and some other members of law enforcement that had marked off a place under this tree next to the pond. They had called and wanted some other people over there to help with that area, so I left the fire pit area and responded to this section right here next to the tree and pond.
And what did you observe when you got over there?
I observed ERT marking off, they had already marked off probably a 6x6 section. The best way I can describe it is there was taller shrubs in the middle of the 6x6 section. It looked like there was just a little bit of grass, probably the length of sod, and some dirt protruding through the grass, but there were no taller shrubs like on the outside of the section.
What happened next?
The ERT team began excavating that site. They removed a top layer of soil, took off the shrub and the top level of dirt.
And what did you see under that?
At that point, you could see what appeared to be three large white rocks. And as soon as they did that, we could start to smell the odor that, through my training experience, is a decomposing body.
Let's talk about that. Have you, on other occasions through your work, smelled a decomposing body?
Unfortunately, yes, I have.
And is there a distinctive smell to you that you associate with that?
There is.
And it's your testimony that as that first layer of ground was lifted off, you began to smell that?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
What did you observe next?
After they slowly and methodically dug around the white rocks, they were removed. ERT took pictures and measurements. They continued to dig down. Right below the layer of rocks were two pieces of thin wood paneling, just right below the rocks.
Were you still able to smell that smell you had described?
Yes, as they dug down, it got stronger.
Were those boards removed?
They were.
What did you observe after that?
So after the boards were removed, you could see the discoloration of dirt. So you had dry dirt, and then underneath the boards was like a wet, moist type dirt. So it was pretty obvious there, the distinction between the soil.
Then what happened?
They continued to brush away the wet soil, and at that point, you could start to see a black, round object start to protrude through the dirt.
And describe that object. About what size was it?
Initially, it just looked like a littler, black, round object. They dug down further, carefully, and it appeared to take shape of the crown of a human head.
What did you do after that, or what did you observe once that was uncovered?
So once the black, round object was uncovered, at that point, the ERT team leader, Steve Daniels, got a small, sharp instrument and made a slit in the black plastic. He kind of opened that up just a little bit, not to damage or manipulate any of the evidence. But underneath the black plastic was a another white layer of plastic. So he used that same instrument and got a slit down the white plastic and kind of opened it up. And at that point, it looked to be brown human hair.
After that was discovered, what happened next?
As soon as that was discovered, we received information on the radio that the defendant, Daybell, was leaving his daughter's residence, which was catty corner to his residence, at a high rate of speed. At that point, Mr. Daybell was pulled over and subsequently placed in custody.
Did you go back to the site where the what appeared to be a human head was located?
I did. When I got back to what we ended up calling burial site, they continued to excavate around that black plastic. And after they excavated and took the dirt off the plastic, it revealed what appeared to be a small body wrapped in black plastic with duct tape around it.
Thank you. Your Honor, I know the time.
Yes.
This would be the place to stop for the day.
All right. We are going to try to adhere to this court schedule. So it is 3:30. This time then, I am going to conclude trial for the day. I've got one additional issue I'll take up outside the presence of the jurors. However, the jurors will be excused here momentarily. As you're leaving for the evening, then, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, as I will try to remember to tell you each and every day or when we leave the breaks, longer breaks, please do not discuss this case amongst yourselves or with anyone else. Please don't do anything to investigate this case. If you see any media coverage of the case, please try to avoid that so you can remain impartial. And with that in mind, that will conclude our first day of evidence. So, to allow the jurors to be excused at this time.
All rise, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. Detective, if you want to go ahead and step down off the stand, we're going to just argue with this motion. Counsel, this isn't necessarily a motion. It's just what I want to get on the record in terms of stipulated evidence the parties have agreed to. I'll note that back on February 27th, the court received a pleading stipulation on introduction of specific evidence. The list contains 74 separate items. The parties have determined will be admitted at trial by stipulation. And let me just first begin there and inquire from the state, is this still an accurate representation of evidence that's going to be proffered and admitted by stipulation, to your understanding?
To the state's understanding, it is, Your Honor.
Okay. And Mr. Pryor, you did review that before it was filed. You signed as well. Is it still your understanding that those listed items on the pleading are not going to be objected to if offered by the defense?
And by the state, Judge, that's correct, yes.
Very well. All right, so counsel, I am going to then indicate on the record that those particular items of evidence are to be admitted by stipulation. The one thing in keeping our record straight is that those are listed out in a 1 through 74 listing, but those do not correspond with the evidence markings in the case. In other words, those are not the exhibit numbers or letters that will be admitted in trial. So I'll keep the list running, but each one of those, of course, needs to be independently marked and admitted with independent trial stickers so the exhibits are kept straight in the record. And our clerk will assist with that as they come in, but I assume all of those are going to be pre-marked and admitted. And if you wish to reference them on the pleading throughout the trial, you can do that, but you need to make clear that all those exhibits are not. In other words, the pleading does not correspond to the actual exhibit numbers of the trial. Is that the state's understanding?
Yes, Your Honor. And maybe if I may ask for some clarification from the court.
Yes.
We do have in here one of the stipulations covers essentially documents that are in relation. If we have a business record affidavit or a custodian of record affidavit, then we would stipulate that the documents covered or the exhibits covered would be admitted. Does the court want us to introduce those business record affidavits or custodian of record affidavits as their own exhibit?
I'll let defense weigh in, but I think that makes the most sense to me. Separate affidavits should be admitted as separate exhibits, so those can be tracked down later if someone's referencing the record.
Judge, they're stipulated exhibits, so I'll let the prosecutor decide how they want to hit.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor, because I think at the end of the day, the affidavit itself is stipulated to, but really what matters is the content and documents covered by that affidavit or what's actually going to be admitted as evidence. So, okay. But we have those if the court would like those admitted as well for the record.
Yeah, so they'd be separate. The affidavit itself, laying foundation for the other exhibits, would be a separate exhibit.
And Judge, will you
clarify? Yes.
Judge, you will note that of my 54 exhibits that the state has agreed and stipulated to admit, the individual exhibits are the same numbers as the stipulation that we put on the record. So in other words, number one on the stipulated list makes mention of some phone cell right information. The actual exhibit itself is the same number that I'm offering. It just happens to be the contents within that phone celebrate. So my numbers match up corresponding to the stipulation that the court has exactly. And I did that for ease of convenience for everyone, Judge.
Okay. And if they do match, we'll just reference that. If they don't, the point is the stipulation itself is not any kind of controlling document as to what the exhibits actually will be marked as in the record. So we'll mark each one as it comes in on the record and make clear that this is simply a reference, basically. If they correspond, they do. If not, clarify that, and it should be admitted in terms they're offered as your evidence is introduced. So that will conclude then my concerns on stipulated evidence. Is there anything else we need to bring up this afternoon before we break for the day from the state?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Anything further from the defense?
Judge, just briefly, the state and I will meet about that issue that we had at the sidebar, just the last one, to discuss the parameters.
Okay. I would suggest counsel will want to start with further testimony at 8:30. So if parties want to be available at 8 tomorrow morning, we can take up any matters outside the jury's presence before we get the jurors back in the courtroom tomorrow morning. So that will be our schedule for tomorrow. Okay, thanks everyone in attendance today for complying with the court's conduct order. You can be excused and we'll complete our day.
Thank you.
All rise, please. Folks, make sure you take all your things with you.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.